So let's just open in a word of prayer. Father, we just want to commit this evening into your hand. We look to you, God, for your unction, your anointing. Lord, you're to visit us here with your presence. Lord, as your word says, that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Lord, we just pray for that impartation substance for each and every one of us. Lord, we just pray for your word, your thoughts. Lord, that you might speak to our hearts concerning your plans, your purposes, your reality, O God. Lord, we just pray for the gathering of your people in this place at this time. We thank you, God, for the instruction. Thank you, God, for your words, your thoughts. We just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I don't want to go against the flow of things, but I guess I'm probably going to do that. There's a song, actually, I had to sort them out because I was hearing different verses, but how about Goodbye World? Don't you want to say goodbye to the world tonight? I think there's an exhortation for us to come up higher, to, you know, I hear the Lord speaking to us in our song services. This afternoon, I really felt like the Lord was maybe just talking to me, but certainly wanting me to come to a place of communication and fellowship with the Lord that I have not yet attained. You know, sometimes we've heard in our meetings when you've had, I'm not a chef. I admire those people who are chefs, and they can make this beautiful meal. I remember George and I went on a cruise once, and you could go to the captain's table. Well, he didn't sit with us, but you know they call it the captain's dinner, and you almost didn't want to eat the meal because it looked so beautiful. Now portions weren't very big, but what you had was something so eloquent. So I'm striving for words, but the taste of it, you know. And we've all had that in the Lord, where we've gathered. We've been in meetings. They've been like milestones in our lives. You know, we can point back to different meetings. At least I can. And in those meetings, I can say, this is where I went from there. You know, they were like, you know, the swimmers that are on the blocks when the race goes and they jump into the water. These are some of the meetings or how they, the starting blocks. And I don't know about you, but I came with an expectation. I came with an expectation, and I'm not going to be denied. I refuse to be denied. Because, like you, I think, there's a nasty world out there. But in here, it says where two or more, I love God's map, where two or more are gathered in His name, there He is in the midst. And that makes me so encouraged because when I look around and I see all my friends, I see more than two of us. And we are gathered in His name. And I know, like you and me, we aren't going to be denied. We want to climb the hills of Zion. We want to reach into the heavens and pull a little heaven down because we don't know what our tomorrows bring. But we know that in God, whatever they bring, we will be able to face. Sometimes I marvel. I really marvel that God is preparing us and we don't even realize what it is He's preparing us for. You know? In May of 2009, I read a book by Richard Wurmbrand. Many of you have heard me say this. And the one thing that I walked away from that book was, he said, faith that can be destroyed by suffering was never faith at all. And the very next month, I started on my journey of having cancer. And it kept coming to me, that if I believe God, it never, there was no doubt that God would walk through that journey with me, you know? Isn't it wonderful? You have those testimonies, how before you had to enter something that was a mountain, God prepared you. And so, don't you want to join me in this conference and say, I'm not going to be denied. Now, we're not going to sing that song. That wasn't the song. It's this. But it's the heart. Put it in your heart. I'm not going to be denied. I have been waiting. I'm not supposed to be here, believe it or not. I'm not supposed to be here. I looked at the work schedule. You know, I'm the senior nurse there, and yet, you know what it means? Nothing. I go to the vacation book, and I look at it, and I'm like, oh my goodness, there is no way I can get off. There was one day that there were six people ahead of me, and I was going to be number seven. Now, we're only a staff of 16. What are the odds that I'm going to get off? And I'm ready to walk away from the book, thinking, I'm not going to put in. And there's a girl standing behind me, and she goes, hey, as soon as you get done, I'm putting down for that day too. I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm putting my name down. I got off. She got off. God prompted her. I was 7, she was 8. I'm telling you, I had to repent of my lack of faith there. But I'm not going to be denied, because God moved to make me come, to get me here. Not make me come, but to be here. So God has something for each of us. Each of us. So let us reach into the heavens and pull the heavens down tonight. Amen? Don't you want to do that? I mean, do you want to do that?
Yes.
Amen. 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 So let's say goodbye to the world, shall we?
Thank you.
by a world. We had a request from Buckmaster Sam and Abigail concerning their daughter. And they were asking if they could dedicate their baby. So, due to time constraints, Sam having to return to the base, I think we need to be appropriate to give them the opportunity. So, if you guys want to come. This works well. It's very simple. You, as the parent, need to verbalize with your mouth as a prayer to the Lord concerning your daughter, and we, as witnesses, can agree with you and pray with you. There are brothers that want to come.
They need to come further.
Yeah, why don't you come closer to us? It's okay. It won't bite you. Sam, do you have anything you want to say?
I just want to dedicate it to Jesus, and I just want God's plan for his life and his hand upon her, and we want the Lord's guidance as how to raise her. And
Lord, today I'd just like to bring my daughter before you. I'd like to dedicate her life, and rededicate mine and my wife's life to you. Dedicate her all the life she has coming to you, and whatever you have planned for her life and for ours. I'd like to ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, you are observing and witnessing the commitment and the position or the place of these parents concerning this child. We are not praying for the child for just this particular moment, but we are praying for the overshadowing. We're praying for the direction. We're praying for the instruction and teaching that this child will receive throughout its development and growth, that it might realize its full and total potential in the things that pertain to God and your kingdom. And Father, we come by the blood of Jesus Christ just to dedicate this child by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You heard the statement of the parents. You heard the desire of their heart. And you have put it upon them to move. And Father, we believe that at this point in time, you are moving in the realm of eternity to fix the path, not only of the child, but of the parents. Yes. So Father, we bring this child before you. We bring these parents, this father and this mother. Father, that you would give them wisdom. Wisdom on how to raise this child in the admonition and the fear of God. Mother, let them have that reality. Let them have that experience in their own lives with you as their father. Father, we pray for the unction and the anointing of the Spirit, that you would direct their paths, direct their circumstances, overshadow and keep and protect and bring health and vitality, not only in the physical sense, but also in the spiritual arena. Father, we give them unto you in the name of Jesus.
Father, we just thank you for Sam and Abigail and for this precious little girl. Lord, we thank you that we are witnesses of that which you have brought them together as husband and wife, and now stand before you to dedicate their baby unto you. So we stand in agreement tonight, God. Bless this house. May your Spirit lead both Sam and Abigail in the way of righteousness so that they could teach their daughter that way as well, Lord. We pray that your angels would surround this little one and this home to teach them the way of you, to raise this little girl up in the admonition of God, so that when she grows old, she will not depart from it, O God, but that she would serve you all the days of her life, even as her parents have committed themselves to serving you, O God. We just bless this house today. Bless them in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And touch, Lord. Lord, the grandparents that stand before you today, Lord, as they encourage their children to press on and their granddaughter as well, God. Anoint them afresh, Lord. For, Lord, they stand before you even now rejoicing, seeing their granddaughter being dedicated unto you and desiring the same as their parents, that she will grow up in the nature and character of the Almighty God.
Oh, yes.
Bless this household today, we pray, in your precious name.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Father, let the nature of this child be even as that of Ruth that is in the Bible, whose heart was after those things that pertain to righteousness, whose heart was after those things that brought forth the fruit of righteousness. Father, let her nature be that of Ruth, that it be soft, that it be gentle, that it be as unto the Lord.
Amen.
Lord, that she might cleave unto you, Lord,
yes,
even as Ruth cleaved unto Naomi, Father, to forsake her position of physical identity, to come into a position and a place. And by virtue of that willingness and that favor and that position of strength, that in that decision, you chose her out of all of Israel, Father, to bring forth the lineage of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that you would move in that capacity, that you would move in that manner, and to bring forth that revelation of nature in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.
I want to ask Brother George to share a dream he had here recently that I believe is pertinent for this time frame of gathering together, as it gives us some insight and instruction, I believe, concerning the thoughts of God and his desire with respect to his people. So, Brother George, if you don't mind.
A couple of weeks ago, one of the brethren had called me up and had asked if the Lord had given me a dream or admonition for this conference. And up to that day that that individual asked me, I said, well, no. And It's always interesting how God works, you know, when you least expect it, that's when he comes. And that same night, I ended up having this particular dream. And for some of you that are unfamiliar with some of the dreams I get, I usually get a lot of dreams pertaining to my father's house that always talks about God's house, his business. And anyway, in this particular dream, I was coming up to my father's house, and I saw that there was much activity that was going on. In my father's house, in the front of the house is the main kitchen area. And I saw, as it were, that there was major renovation going on in the kitchen. And that many of the brethren were there, young people. I mean, I was seeing young people, and everyone was having a part. It had a big dumpster in front of the house. And so renovating a kitchen, you're taking out the old to remodel the new. And I actually saw some of the younger kids actually coming with parts of the things that were to be thrown out, and that basically was the dream, you know. So just wanted to share it with you all, and that God will give some interpretation to it, I'm sure, during the course of this conference. So praise the Lord. Amen.
Well, in many ways, the interpretation is easy. But let me give you a little context, perhaps, because it's a confirmation. And I was very excited about hearing about his dream. Was it yesterday only? We are obviously in a conversation with Barak. And as the Texas was approaching, and also we met in Uganda together on mission field, we are discussing and asking the Lord, and you know, what is it you want to do, Lord? Because honestly, I'm sure you share this sentiment with us. We are not interested in conferences or gatherings and this thing. We love to see each other. It's great, but we would love to know what the Lord has in mind. And as we share a heart, we still have the focus on youth. As Barak defined it, youth is not by age, but by, you know, where you are young. So whatever age you are part of this. But the idea was, well, talking to our children who are not children anymore, some of the children, obviously, were here a few minutes ago having children, you know. So those young adults, having them in mind, and the Lord said, well, please be aware that they cannot go by your doctrine, the parents' doctrine, grandparents' doctrine. They cannot go by what you believe. They cannot go by your testimony. They cannot go by your experience. They have to have their own. They have to have their ability to have a relationship with God. They have to have ability to defend the faith. They have to have the ability to understand the word and understand it not mentally only, but understand it spiritually and the implications of it. Because if we really understand the principles in the spirit about the word of God, we would, I believe, treat it differently. There is such a power and such a potential. There is such a calling in the word. If we apply it properly and mix it with faith and use it and walk in it, you know, we are fulfilling God's purpose from the beginning. So one of the things was, yes, they have to be involved. And we do believe, and we did believe, that this conference, if you want, should take a little different form. And it would be in participation, not necessarily only, you know, somebody speaking from the pulpit and telling others, which is fine. It's, you know, part of what God wants, the word to be shared. But, you know, for the young and youth to be involved, perhaps to give them piece of word, piece of a question and have them dig in the Word and ask the questions, you know, work with it. We're discussing with Barak, how to do this and asking the Lord how to split people and, what to do. As well as the topic, and the topic was, well, you recently, what the Lord was doing in Czech and other places is something I would call a continuous, reformation. We took the kids, the children, to different places. We took them to Luther House in Germany. We speak about all the reformators. We read the books about them and all this and explain them about, the faith and reformation. But, we kind of have a wrong belief that the reformation was then and we have it right now. Now what we have is right. But I believe there has to be constant reformation, checking whether what we believe is biblical. We kind of think about outer court and denominations being out there. But if you're not careful, we become the denomination. And we believe things. We would become believing things, and we don't know exactly why. We would form our own traditions and things. And we have to be careful, and we have to keep digging into the scriptures and checking whether that's right. And also, we would be having a form of religion, if you want, but denying the power thereof. And all this is something we have to be aware of and willing to admit. So when we are in discussion with Barak about all this, we did believe that the form of this conference should be more active and participation and digging the Word and having actually boldness to ask any questions they are. Because one of the things that is happening in churches, and I don't care if it's centuries ago or now, is that certain things you don't speak about. This is, what is the word, taboo? Yeah. Huh? Yeah. No. Don't ask those. And yet, it's something which is in the mind of the people. It's something they would like to ask. And the children, if you create an environment at home, they would be the ones, it's like the... it's like the story of a king with no clothes and the emperor, with a dress, and he was stupid enough to believe those people selling him dress that you don't see. And the idea is, if you admit you don't see this, you're actually outcast because you proved to be dumb, and only the so-called clever people, they see the dress, and he wouldn't admit he's dumb, and actually there's no dress, and all the people around him wouldn't, till a child was there, and the child in the crowd is asking the parent, and asking, hey, I mean, he's naked, isn't he? It's a famous story, and the children do that. They ask questions, and they don't know what taboo is, so they ask a question and say, hey, what about this? Wasn't Jesus supposed to be here already? By what you're telling us for the decades? And you have to be, able to answer, and you have to be able to go and face it and bring it before God. So with all this, and forgive me to give you the long context, but with all this the Lord is putting on our heart, and on the hearts of our children, which are not children no more, really, some of them, you believe this is God. And then you would like to have a confirmation, right? You would like to have, are we right? Are we on the track? Are we hearing God properly? And then, George is just sharing this dream yesterday. It was the first time I heard it. And I was just chuckling, I looked at it and I said, I couldn't put it better. If you look at it, he has a dream, and you said it was weeks back. I'm not sure you were privy to any of this discussion I had with Barak at that time. He says, no, but it's exactly it. Do you see it there? The idea of a kitchen. And by the way, a kitchen is not only the kitchen of your house, but a kitchen is something that is very symbolic to our circle, to what we believe. Because God has given years back, and you all should know and perhaps find the word Brother Dusil was sharing years back. I would say decades, isn't it? And it was about him receiving a huge, what is it, was it 100 pounds or 1,000 pounds of a sack, you know, full of meat, kind of raw meat, and not steaks, you know, and stuff, but he was supposed to deliver it to kitchen. And the kitchen was a place where it was supposed to be cut in pieces and Craig, you know what I'm talking about, right? You know, taking care of it, and if you don't know what, talk to this man. You know, it would be distributed as a meal, because some people are supposed to bring the meat in big chunks, and then it's distributed as word to, you know, in the house of the bride, wasn't it? Yes, it was house of the bride. And in this dream, it's kind of touching the same topic, the same idea. And the idea is actually that God is saying it's time to look back at the kitchen. Isn't it? I didn't give the dream, I'm just interpreting it. Yeah, it's time to look at the kitchen. It's time to see what is going on there. And I see two things. It's like refreshing the concept. Refreshing the concept of taking the word, okay, and perhaps... was it some people taking trash out?
Well, it's like taking the things out that when you're meditating, whatever you're replacing, you have to take the old stuff out.
Make a scene.
Okay. So. Okay. So whatever is there, it's like. You know, the Lord wants us to do this job, and I was, very pleased the way God speaks so clearly and easily. And I believe there are a few things. One, it's time to revisit. It's time to look at the things we believe and double check. We know what we believe. Is it something we believe as a, you know, especially the next generations? Something as a, yeah, this is how church goes. No Christmas, you know, or. No rapture, or, you know, this or that, the way we dress. And do we know why we believe this? Do we really believe it? Is it found in the Bible? You know, and the second thing is the involvement. You've seen involvement of the children, the youth, if you want. I believe this is something that's very important. You know, we shouldn't deny them the ability to ask and question and actually to fight for themselves. Find it in the Bible. Defend it yourselves. So, this is just giving you context and confirmation and partly the interpretation of the dream. I do believe there's more because taking out from the kitchen is not only looking at a word, but I believe there are some things that need to be taken out. You know, we might have brought in or they are, you know, wrong. And actually, we might be even speaking about sin, even though that was not the main part of it. But it might be whatever doesn't belong there in the kitchen needs to get out. It's time for cleaning of every aspect. Amen? So, Lord willing, and you know, sometimes the Lord puts on our heart things, and He doesn't give us detailed instructions. So we have to work it together and see where it goes. But we would like in the next days, if you permit us, and if the Lord leads us and we understand how, we would like to go and dig in some of the foundational things. And especially when talking to the youth, the theme which was resonating and was clearly asked was the purpose of life. So if we would give a title to this conference, Barry came over this title or topic, Purpose of Life. And in a sense of, all right, if the life is ahead of us, the youth says, what is the purpose? What God really wants from us? Who are we? What are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to believe? I mean, We would like to tackle that and be clear about this. And I do agree, because it's one of the key things that you need for your life, for your work, actually, for whatever you do. I mean, what is the purpose? What's the point? If you don't know that, You know, there's no anointing, there's no sense, there's no energy. It's just religion. It's just repeating things, but you don't know what's going on. So I believe that the main theme, if you wish, is the purpose of our life, especially from a youth perspective. Amen? So I don't know, Berg, what do you have in mind? You wanted me to come here to speak about a dream. Do you want to share what you had in mind or what the Lord spoke to you, or what do you want to do now? Okay. All right. What I then believe we could do, we'll lay before you the first step. As we prayed, the Lord put on our heart, I believe, the first step of the purpose of life, and that would be, who are you? So if you don't mind, I would perhaps lay a little bit on a table, have you sleep on it, and then tomorrow we will get into it. I don't know whether it's the time and the hour to speak about it and then dismiss into groups and do the work, especially with some people traveling. I was given note, be careful not to take it too long. But I don't want to waste time, really. So I would like to spend it now. I don't want to dismiss it at all. Let's lay on the table some of the questions, more than answers. Amen, shall we? Shall we do that? Okay. Let me get some stuff. So, let me pray. Father, I'm excited about what you have in mind. I'm excited about what you have in mind from the beginning. Because you have a purpose. You have created us and everybody with a purpose. You have created us, Lord, with a concept, with an idea, with a plan. And I thank you that we can gather here and that you have gathered people who are interested in knowing what the plan is, what is in the mind of our Father. So I pray, Lord, that you would lead us, that you would speak to us, and that you would anoint our mouth to speak, our ears to hear, and our mind to understand. Because I believe if we understand, Lord, your mind, that'll equip us, that'll give us power and ability to enter into the purpose you have given for our life. Speak to us tonight. Open our hearts in the name of Jesus. Amen. I actually will start giving some context. Oh, thank you, sweetie. Giving some context, I'll go to, what is it, Luke 15, isn't it? And I suppose you want to do it in English, right? 15:11. Of course, you know the story. I'm preaching to a choir here. But the story is, and he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. It's a story about of two sons and a father. And both of the sons actually didn't know the father. They had wrong concept about the father. They had the wrong concept about purpose of life. They had the wrong concept about who they are and who they are supposed to be. What is their calling? And what is the life about? And I believe that both of the sons, they describe us and other people in a different ways. You know, there are, in the Bible, there are different types and typologies. Some of them, for example, you take the sheep. When the sheep was lost, what are we supposed to do? You're supposed to go and find it, right? You reach out and you find the sheep. And this is the calling for us, to find the sheep. If a coin is lost, it loses its value, right? Well, what we are supposed to do? Search the house. You know, search it. Go for it. But when a son is lost, you don't go after him. You have to wait for the son to come to senses. Amen?
Amen.
And I believe God is dealing with you as with sons because of the word that was delivered to you. You're no sheep. You're no coin. I mean sheep in one sense, yes, but not in the sense of that you need to be searched for. You have the word. You know, you have the word, and God is actually using this parable to explain us the need to fully understand where we are supposed to be. Because this one son, to make a long story short, because you know the story, he ends up among pigs. And look at this. He is son of God. Son of his father, right? He's got the calling. He's got the election. He's got everything that belongs to the father, belongs to him. And yet, he finds himself among pigs, eating poor, feeling miserable, wasting his life. You know, and actually, as I'm told from the brethren, you know, destroying his inheritance. You know what I mean? So it's possible that you at the same time are son of God. You have heard his gospel. You know, you are part of it. And yet, not taking an advantage of it. The very opposite. Not realizing your calling and what you can do. It is something we have to overcome. It is something that us all, not only the youth, have to realize. There is something the Father has in mind. I can be living my life in the world. I can be playing with the world. I can be half there, half in, half out. Eating with the pigs. And well, you say, come on, Martin, I'm not eating with pigs. Well, no, we're not speaking about natural food, are we? We talk about this internet and this music and that word and that friend, you know, and that situation. It is, in a way, eating with pigs, isn't it? You know, and if you see the faces of the young people, they go, yeah. Because it is. But, you know, the problem is, the father cannot go. You cannot, and this is the mistake we do sometimes. You know, when we tell the kids and tell the people around ourselves, or maybe even we tell ourselves and we say, well, thou shalt not. Don't do this. You know, without giving understanding why and what actually is there in the father's house. You know, they don't have the vision. When he was there and he left the father, he didn't have the vision of the house. He didn't understand really what is in the house. And he needed to get a vision. So he's there eating with pigs. You know, he's there busy doing things. He spent all the money he had. I mean, when you are in the church, when you are hearing this word, you do get money, spiritually speaking. You do get something valuable. Amen? You have knowledge, you have understanding, you have strength. You have inherited good things. Amen? And you can spend it. You can use it. Use it up. Spend it. And then, doesn't the scripture say when he came to senses? Or is it? Or came to himself? Uh, 17, isn't it? And when he came to himself, yeah, came to himself, came to senses, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. You know, part of this is, and this is our prayer, for this week, that there will be this realization and recognition for the sons. For the sons of the fathers, you know, there's bread. There's bread in the house of God. What am I doing here? What am I doing here when, you know, I mean, even the servants of my father, they have bread and there is enough to be spared. And yet, you know, I'm here suffering and hungry. And that would be my prayer, that we would come to this calling and realizing, hey, you know, the calling God is offering me is much higher than what I have. We trade it because there's this idea. And you know, strange enough, God allows it. God allows the sons, okay, you go and try it. You know, the children could go and they say, what about this music? What about this school? What about that? What, you know, am I not missing out? Isn't it, tell me, young people, isn't it a question you're honestly asking? Aren't we missing out? You know, the music. Take music. You know, well, we have just this little subset, you know, and you run it over and over, and the parents are kind of suggesting, well, this is rock, and this is dead, and this is wrong for this reason, and this is wrong for this reason, and it's very limited then. And the question is there, am I not missing out? You know? And on other things, the question could be, am I not missing out? You know? Isn't there something out there that we don't have? And the Father is not going to force us. He will allow to go among pigs. You know, but when you're there, then you realize, well, actually, the calling God has for me, you start recognizing, is much higher than I can achieve anywhere else. And I hope by tomorrow morning, when we dig into these things, we will recognize, and perhaps all of us, young people, will come to ourselves and realize, hey, the calling in God, what He has to offer, is so much more than I could ever do by myself. If you realize who you really are and who your Father is, if you realize the powers, if you realize the calling, if you realize the ability of your soul, I would even speak natural and say, if you realize the ability of your brain, but let's say soul, if you realize the ability of your soul and the calling and what God wants from you individually as well as together as body of Christ, I believe that it would give us the power, the inner power, to leave everything behind and rush back to home. Where Father is standing and waiting for you because He believes in you. You know, whenever you are in a mess, the Father is still believing in you, waiting for you to come. Amen? So I believe this is quite important idea. But let me go to the other son too. You know, this son, he never left the father. But still he didn't understand the father. He's there, busy, working and doing what the father says. Amen? But didn't understand that he should participate in it. You know, you could make a mistake of working for God, but not being son of God. With all honesty, you know, you try to do all the good things, but there's still something missing. Because it is not the purpose of God. It is not the purpose of your life to work and work and work and sacrifice and do all these things. And it's seemingly right and it's biblical, but that's not the purpose. God wanted you to have fellowship with Him, understand Him, love Him, and participate on the work. You know, I personally believe, and I'm talking biblical as well as management. Okay, my trade is management. I believe if you work without vision, without understanding what you're doing, without participating on the fruit of your work, it is not sustainable. You can do it for a while, but long term, you can't do this. You will resign, you will give up, you will grow bitter. Amen? And especially we'll grow bitter when you see God is blessing somebody who doesn't deserve it. Because your motive is not love. Your motive is not kindness. Your motive is not relationship with the Father. Your motive is actually that you think you can earn it and deserve it. But that's not the calling. That's not what God wants from us. Amen? And the other son, when actually the first, how do we call it, prodigal? You know, when the prodigal son comes back, and the father is so pleased and happy. Because, you know, we don't realize how much the father desires us to come back. Desires us to come to the calling. He's there and we say, you know, well, maybe I'll just serve you. I'll be just an outcast. I'll be just in the corner. He says, no, come in. And he gives you the ring. He gives you, he says, please recognize you're my son. You're not my servant. I don't want to treat you as a servant. I want to treat you as a son. And the Father is there waiting for us to come in. And the moment we decide in our mind and say, I'm coming back to God, He is there. And He's there to embrace us and bring us in. And actually, He throws a party. You know, we don't deserve it, do we? You know, we come back with this sorry heart. And the sorry heart triggers in God forgiveness like this. And he's able to throw a party and say, come in, be my son. And yes, there'll be work tomorrow on the field. You know. But the other son, he says, what? I mean, throwing a party? He's a prodigal son, he's spending your money. You know, and you can have this in church. There could be this misunderstanding of the mind of God and of purpose of life. Where he said, well, you have to work for this. You have to deserve Father's recognition. You have to deserve the love of God. No, you can't. It's there. You know what I'm saying? And then, because he was just working and working, and the motive was not there. He didn't understand him being Son of God. He didn't understand the Father and the purpose. And he complained to the Father and said, you know, you do this. And the Father answer to him. What was the answer? Let me first say what the son said. And he answering said to the father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I make merry with my friends. It's a sad Christian life. You know, serving God, not knowing Father, not realizing who you really are. Actually, this guy for many years missed the purpose of life. Can you imagine that? From a very different angle. Thinking about his brother, you know, thinking, oh, I'm doing so much better. Well, in a way, maybe yes. On the other hand, not quite. But as soon as this thy son was come, which thou hast devoured thy living with, which has devoured thy living with harlots, and thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Amen. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. You know, if we have the purpose of God right, if we understand who is God and who we are, I believe that will give us the proper energy and proper balance and ability to work with God, be with God, work in power. And yes, we will be producing and working and doing, but the motive will be different. Amen? And we will not be challenged. We will not be going around and, you know, be kind of struggling with the other brother who God blessed and he doesn't deserve it. Because in our In our thinking, the main idea would be to be with the Father and bless all the other brethren in the house. Amen. So, you can actually have a father. You can be son of God by calling an election and yet have the doctrine wrong. Have a wrong concept and go year by year, you know, and spend it and not have clear your purpose of life. Amen? And I believe we would like to touch it and correct it. If it's the case, and I do believe it's the case, otherwise God wouldn't say it, would he? Amen? So I would like to go and revisit and double check. We know what we believe. We know what we believe. We know who we are. We know what does it mean for our life. Because if you understand who you are and who God is, if you get this right, that'll give us interpretation for the next steps. Like, how do I alter my life? If you don't know who you are, I mean, and it can differ quite a lot. If you believe you're a servant of God, that sounds biblical, isn't it? And in a way, it is correct. But it's not a full story, is it? Because if you're a servant of God, you are thinking differently than if you're a son of God. If you don't know what your calling is and why God did what he did, why he created it and how he created you, you will not be able to interpret properly your calling for life. And this is something we have to double check with the children, with the youth, you know, to lay it properly and make sure they understand it. So in a way, tomorrow, as we split you, you will be the ones explaining back to us. And we will be the ones asking questions here and there. Amen?
Amen.
Looking forward to it?
Yes.
I know you are. Yes. But we would like to make sure that you understand it. Because it's easy to nod. But can you formulate it yourselves? Can you find it in the Bible? Can you understand it properly? Is it down there in your heart, and do you know what it really means? Amen? So, the questions we would have for tomorrow, because I want you to pray about it and think about it overnight, sleep on it, as we say. I have listed them down. I did sleep on it too. And I do have the answers, and let's see if we arrive there. But I strongly hope that you bring some other thoughts that we didn't think about and we didn't list. But let me find it here real quick. Texas 2:17. Here it is. So we would like to start with step number one, as I said already, and this is, who are we? And I have kind of four sub-questions for you. So my first question is, and pay attention to the word. I see you write it down, which is correct. Pay attention to this word, because it's important. What kind are we? What kind are we? So, you know, you are created as what? Who are you? What kind are you? In a sense of creation. In sense of biology, if you want. If you're supposed to describe the earth and what is on the earth, the species. What about you? Who are you? Amen? So the question one is, who are we? And I do have some sub-questions for tomorrow, but I'm not telling you now. And second question is, who are we compared to Jesus? So that's question number two. Who are we compared to Jesus? Huh? I can give you two extremes if you want. One extreme would be the same. There's no difference. We and Jesus are the same, you know. He just is before us, but there's no difference between us and Jesus. The other extreme is, come on. I mean, Jesus is God. We are just people. You know, he knows it all. He did it all. He died for us. And we are just people who love him and serve him. And you can't compare us. We are different substance and all this, you know. So, yes, Jesus was holy. Jesus was doing all right. But, you know, of course, not me. Yeah, so that's the two extremes. What do you believe? What is the Bible saying, really? So question one, what kind are we? Question two, who are we comparing to Jesus, compared to Jesus? And then, it's kind of a derived question from the first two. If we realize who we are, biblically, my next question is, do you have it? Do you live it? And if you don't, what's holding us back? In other words, if you find in the Bible that you should be doing so and so, biblically, and you realize in your life that's not the case, because if you realize who you are in the Bible and you are doing exactly what the Bible says, please come and teach us. Okay? But I'm afraid we all fall short, don't we? So tell me, as this third question, if there's a clear word describing who you are, and if it's powerful, and if you don't live it, tell me what's holding you back. Can I give you, again, suggestion, what could be the answer, and let me tell you, it's wrong. Okay, it's one of the doctrines out there. And it would be, well, come on, we have to die. Because yes, one day we will be perfect, right? You know? But not here. And we know that's wrong, don't we? Yes? So that's not the answer. I'm giving you a clue. So what is the answer? What is holding you back? If it's not to die and then be in heaven perfect, because we have rejected it, haven't we? It was one of the first things I have so rejoiced about when I heard this word. You know, because everybody else was kind of living and saying this, well, we live here and we are imperfect. You know, because that's it. We are human. But then we die, we go to heaven, and that's it. Well, if that's the case, the best thing is to die as soon as possible. Huh? Would that be the solution? But of course, we don't believe this, do we? So, what is holding you back? Why are we not walking in the calling? Because that's what the youth are asking. Say, well, okay, if we hear all this preaching, when shall we see more reality of it? And by the way, it's a challenge for us, isn't it? For the parents and grandparents. What do we tell them about our lives? Hey, mom, dad, you know, where shall we see more reality in your lives? So maybe it's for adults too. Ask the question, what is holding me back that all the promises and all the things God put in the Bible, they are not fully manifested in my life? We are not waiting to die. So what is it? What can we do about it? So we've got three questions to pray about, search the Bible about. Who are you? How are you in comparison to Jesus? And what's holding me back from the promises? Is this clear? Amen. So, Barak, I don't know what you want to do, but I'm done for now. Unless you have a question. It could be an organizational question, it could be anything about what I said so far? Yep. Somebody was asking here? Yeah, go ahead.
What kind are we? Elaborate.
Elaborate? I don't know if I'm going to help you. What species are we?
Yeah.
Is it helping? Not?
Yeah.
Okay, are you the top of the animals?
Yep.
Welcome. Welcome to this discussion. Welcome to the Bible. Welcome to the search of the Scriptures. That's exactly what we'll be looking at. You know, because if you have this wrong, that determines your walk. So, what do we believe? You know, so what species are we? Are we humans? Are we humans that are more than the animals? We are, you know, like they make the tree and they put on the tree all the animals, like evolution, you know, Darwin and all that rubbish. And they put man as the best of the animals. No, we don't believe this, do we? So who are we? How God created us. And by the way, if you want, you can compare us with the angels. Are we higher, lower? Why did God create angels and why did He create us? What's the difference? Who are we? As a species, as a kind. Does it make sense? Without giving you the answers? Okay. Joseph, you had a question there.
Just another thought.
Hmm.
Is a question, it's a valid question that not many people do know. People think it's up there.
I know.
Yeah. And then another thing is, to go with your question on like, what kind are we?
Mm.
You could say, what, okay, okay, you say, what are you? So, like, are you body? Are you soul, or what are you like?
Okay.
You can also ask that.
Thank you very much for the two inputs. What I'm going to do is, I take the second question and add it to your list. So who are you? What kind?
Yes.
Also tell me, because we know your body, soul, and spirit, right? But the sub-question is, who are you? Are you body? Or are you soul? Or are you spirit? And you tell me, come on, we are all three. Well, yes and no. We have three parts, but there's answer to this question. Are we soul, are we spirit, or are we body? Okay? So I'm taking this question as a sub-question, and I'm tasking you, if you don't mind, for collecting the other questions. So you have your question there, hell and heaven. You know, it's a good one. And I would like if you put youth, especially, but not only, you can put on paper. You don't need to sign any question you have for this fellowship. Okay, anything you want to ask, you know, and it could be related to these questions, it could be anything else. If you're lost about music, if you're lost about hell and heaven, if you're lost about calling, if you're lost about Jesus is coming tomorrow, if you're lost about something, and you would like to clarify and discuss it, please do write a little paper. Joseph is collecting it. Okay, anytime, not tonight only. Anytime, we'd like to go back to this. Amen? And, you know, people have strange concepts about hell and heaven. And when you start challenging it, which I love to do, you know, they realize they don't know what they believe. If you want a little teaser, you know, sometimes when I want to start discussion this, I tell them, do you know where Jesus went when he died on the cross? I said, what do you mean? I said, do you know he went to hell? I said, what? You know, that's not possible. I said, yes, sure he did. And by the way, do you know he's in heaven? What do you mean? I said, do you know the devil is in heaven? What? Devil cannot be in heaven? Oh, yeah. So it's a little teaser to start conversation, if you want, with some people. Amen. Any more questions? Well, that's why you are the one collecting them. Okay. Barak, back to you. Bless you.
Amen. And if I might just add a little footnote to the story of the prodigal son. You know, when we think about the story, there's always a lot of focus on the prodigal. And I was blessed by the Martin's observation that the truth is neither one of them knew the Father. And I realized this one day, and I was thinking about that story, in the statement the Father makes to the one son, the one who was faithful, I guess you would say, and all that I own, or all that I have, is yours. Now, that initial statement sounds great, and we maybe want to identify ourselves with that position. But I realize that, yes, all that that was the Father was his, including that at some point the Son would inherit everything, including having to take care of his younger brother or his brother in the stead of the Father when the Father was no longer in the picture. So I realized that neither one of them were in the right perspective. And it just really was a very personal insight for me concerning just the aspect of the redemption of God from every situation, in every circumstance. That redemption is something that is first and foremost working in from God's perspective toward that which he wants to save. So, praise the Lord.
All that I have is yours. So it's pretty much like a check. If you don't realize what you do with it, it's just a piece of paper.
Right.
So realizing what it is and the value, and getting it to that point where you actually, actualize that value, is what makes,
right.
I don't know if you understand what I mean.
Yeah. Amen. So praise the Lord. I think the table is set, and I think it would be good that if we close in prayer for the evening, as Brother Martin has put on the table for us, it's food for thought, that way we can come again tomorrow and from a fresh and begin to perhaps look at these things. So unless there's any other thoughts or questions? Amen.
Sir, how many meetings are you going to have tomorrow?
Well, it's two a day. However, we are open to, we don't have that play-by-play instruction, if you will, but as the need arises or we're going into a particular direction, then we can adjust accordingly, So, two a day at this point.
And we're starting at
10. Yes, sir. Amen. Father, we just thank you for the substance and provision that you have in store. We ask that it would be food indeed, meat, Lord, concerning our lives and our purpose, calling and election that you have for us, O God. Father, we just pray that there would be rest for us this evening, even some of the ones that have come for distances and dealing with the jet lag and all. Lord, we just pray for your peace. Yes, Lord, peace that passes all understanding in your presence here in the midst of this gathering. We just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So God bless you, brethren.